how do we actually go about growing a YouTube channel from scratch?
YouTube is actually not complicated.
So how would you describe it?
If you want to succeed on YouTube, I can summarize it in a single sentence. Focus on...
Andrew Murdoch is a YouTube expert who transforms businesses into YouTube powerhouses.
His proven system helps companies create compelling content that converts, turning complete YouTube beginners into profitable channels within months.
We're the puppet masters, taking the content from our clients and turning it into YouTube-friendly content in order to work with the platform. You should have a very detailed description of your buyer avatar. Your viewer avatar is a zoomed out version of your buyer avatar. Now what? We know who we're trying to make content for, now what? It's actually a very simple three-step process. So step one, step two, step three, you're a media company. When you have a YouTube channel, it's essentially a mini business inside your actual business. There's only four ways to market a business. There's only four ways to market an offer. That's it, only four ways. If I see any paid traffic whatsoever, I'm telling the client, you need to kill this and you need to kill this yesterday. And I'm deadly serious. Because you were destroying YouTube's ability to serve your content to the perfect viewer at the perfect time. So,
hello guys, welcome to a new episode of The Pod Files. I have here an amazing guest. We connected just a week ago, basically, and we talked about YouTube and all that. And his name is Andrew Murdoch. He's based in Costa Rica, living there. And we will talk today about YouTube, about how to grow a YouTube channel, how to, as a business owner, how to get on YouTube and to make the most out of it. And I want to introduce you, Andrew. Tell us a little bit more about you.
Thank you so much, Bogdan. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to geek out about YouTube for Business. I am a huge, huge YouTube geek. And I mean, let's kick things off with just stating some facts. People often go to Google to search. You might be thinking, well, yeah, Perplexity and ChatGPT and Claude is disrupting that a little bit. But for the most part, most people still search on Google.
Yep.
But when someone's ready to learn about a subject, they all go to YouTube. YouTube is the world's content resource library. Some people refer to it as free university. And yep. I help businesses grow their brand on the planet's number one video platform.
I've heard this in a podcast, YouTube University, and it made me giggle a little bit. And it's true. Most of the stuff you learn nowadays is from YouTube, which is really good. I grew up with YouTube. 2009 or something, I used it for the first time and I was like, wow, that's amazing. And by the way, I'm from Romania, just, you know, to disclose that. And I got internet quite late in my life and YouTube was already a thing. And I started to kind of like see the amount of footage and amount of like resources you could find. And that was early days. Now imagine what's happening right now. There's so many creators and you could say you have a YouTube career, you know, that wasn't a thing back in the days. So how did you end up in the YouTube industry? I'm really curious about that.
Yeah. So you've probably heard the term burn the boats.
Mm-hmm.
Burn the boats. When you're fully committed to a new way of life or a new business or what have you, you burn the boats to not give yourself a plan B. There is no alternative. You either succeed or you fail. And a little over 6 years ago, I didn't burn the boats. The boats were burned for me. The universe the universe decided to throw me a curveball. I found myself at rock bottom. I had to escape a very toxic, extremely toxic situation. I was in a terrible, terrible marriage that I literally had to escape from. Found myself sleeping on an air mattress. And without boring you to death with all the details, I was absolutely convinced I was the world's biggest loser. And I can attribute to two things. To completely transforming my entire life. Bogdan, I'm not kidding. If you knew me 6 years ago, you wouldn't recognize me. I'm a completely transformed person. And one of those two things was getting addicted to YouTube content. Maybe it sounds cheesy, but that just because it's cheesy doesn't make it any less true, right? And I can still point to very specific YouTube channels and in some cases, very specific YouTube videos that completely helped me reframe and change my entire life. Thankfully, the YouTube AI is fantastic at doing one thing, at serving the perfect video to the perfect person at the perfect time. The recommendation algorithms on the YouTube platform are the best at what they do in the world. And so because some very financially savvy, health and fitness savvy, and just really brilliant entrepreneurs had the foresight to hit the record button. Slowly but surely, I was able to get my finances right. I was able to get my health and fitness right. But more importantly, I was able to get my mindset right, because this was broken. This was messed up. I'm trying not to swear. My head was messed up. My head was totally messed up. I wasn't speaking very kindly to myself, but thankfully some really incredible people hit the record button. And because of the way YouTube is designed, this is the best. I get very jazzed and like high energy when I get to talk about this stuff, because YouTube legitimately changed my life. And because it is free university. So even though I was watching these incredible entrepreneurs, I was watching their content for free, those creators, those business owners, those entrepreneurs, they were still being compensated. Mm-hmm. Even though I didn't pay them, they were still being compensated because I'm watching ads.
Of course.
And YouTube pays the creator 55% of the ad revenue. But it's not just the financial compensation. There is a wealth of value that comes from non-financial compensation, the views, the subscribers, the watch time. Someone is paying you with their attention. Someone is paying you with their eyeballs. Mm-hmm. And that is a really important concept to understand. Probably the best example of that today is Alex Hormozi.
Yep.
Alex Hormozi is arguably the gold standard when it comes to using YouTube for business. Lots of people, including me right now as we speak, are talking about Alex Hormozi. But is Alex Hormozi paying me to talk about him? Absolutely not.
Nope.
He pumps out high value content on YouTube that impacts people like myself. And then people like me, we just naturally talk about him and drive more awareness and attention to him on the world's number one video platform, because it's free university. And there's no better example than him in terms of pumping out free content. I know I went off on a slight tangent there. I'm going to get back on track.
That's fine.
So to actually finish answering your question. So over time, I was watching a lot of videos, YouTube videos, that helped me rewire my brain, essentially. But here's the thing. This is very, very important. I had to get off my butt, and I actually had to do something. Because when you are sitting passively watching YouTube videos, your life isn't going to change. You need to actually take action and put one foot in front of another to make certain improvements, so that, like me over 6 years ago, you can improve your financial situation, you can improve your health and wealth, and you can improve your mindset. And one thing led to another. I got into marketing. I found myself working as a social media manager for a large US tech company. And I really cut my teeth on their YouTube channel. Mm. It came to a point where even though I was their social media manager and I was in charge of all of the different platforms, I got to be honest with you, the results we were generating over social media were womp womp, you know, they're kind of lackluster. Mm-hmm. They weren't that great. But the results we generated on the YouTube side were eye-watering, blistering, amazing.
It was just the perfect business probably for YouTube.
And even in those early days, to me, the writing was on the wall. I'm like, wait a second. Why are businesses wasting all of this time, money, and effort on social media? No offense to the social media people out there. I'm sure there's some really great strategies out there. But in my experience, I could combine all the social media platforms and still the results didn't come even close to the one YouTube channel that we were working on. Mm-hmm. So I eventually transitioned away from social media, became a YouTube consultant. Mm-hmm. And I did that for a number of years. And then that translated into me launching YTierra. We are a done-for-you YouTube marketing easy button, essentially, for businesses that want to have a YouTube channel. But they don't want to hire an entire creative department to grow the YouTube channel. They just want to outsource that to the people that know what they're doing, the experts. YouTube changed my life. And just to land the plane now, I know it sounds cheesy, but I still have to state the facts and tell the truth. I now obsess over being the puppet master. I obsess over helping my clients.
I like that.
That's how I view me and my team. We're the puppet masters, taking the content from our clients and turning it into YouTube-friendly content in order to work with the platform.
And that's a lot of satisfaction when you see stuff growing. That's really good.
Oh, organic traffic? That's free traffic. Organic is free traffic. And when you know what you're doing and you can convince the world's number one video platform to put your perfect video in front of the perfect person at the perfect time, what better asset to a brand is there, right? So so that I think about all the Andrew Murdochs where I was 6 years ago. I know there's a lot of those people out there. And I consider it a honor and a responsibility to do everything we possibly can to get our clients high value content in front of people who are struggling.
Yeah, so you changed a lot in the last few years, which is it's great because, you know, sometimes you need that little thing happening in your life or major thing happening in your life to kind of like give you a kick in the butt, basically, and to move forward.
Agreed.
Yeah, and that happened to me a few times as well. Coming from music, from my music industry, I would like send my tracks to all sorts of like record labels and they would reject me. Some would say, oh, that's fine, but they would give me like an outrageous deal and said, no, I'm not having that. So stuff like that, you know, rejections, you know, and then you find your way into something. Like, for example, I do podcasting and you realize that, oh, you're really good at it and you continue moving forward and you actually bring a lot of, you know, value to your clients and to the people, you know, you're working with, which is awesome. So I want to focus a little bit like practically, but how do we actually go about growing a YouTube channel from scratch, making sure that it actually has success? What's like quite a few strategies in there maybe you can share with us?
Great question. And before I even answer your question, if you don't have a YouTube channel for your music, that's something you should consider. I'm serious.
I do have one.
You do have one. There you go.
Okay. I'll send you my tracks.
You should. You should send me your link because I'm not an expert in the music YouTube channel space. There are experts out there that would be a lot more helpful than me. But not only is YouTube the number one video platform, but it's also the number one podcast platform. It's the number one streaming platform, the number two search engine that most people understand. So lots of musicians generate that momentum, that in those initial stages of distribution through the YouTube platform. Public speakers do the same thing. All kinds of different groups of people enjoy YouTube for those reasons. So how do we actually do this? I'm just a dumb marketer, man. I love to simplify. That's my jam. Love to simplify. YouTube is actually not complicated. It's not easy, but it's not complicated.
So how would you describe it?
If you want to succeed on YouTube, I can summarize it in a single sentence. Focus on the viewer, period. That's it.
But basically what they need to watch. That's exactly what you need to deliver.
Don't make content for you. Make content for your viewer. Now, your viewer avatar is a zoomed out version of your buyer avatar. So again, I help entrepreneurs, business owners, professionals.
I like how you describe that.
Yeah. So I'm talking to you, the business owner, you, the entrepreneur, you, the professional right now listening to this podcast. If you have a business, you've been in business for any decent amount of time, you should have a very detailed description of your buyer avatar. I'm just going to throw it in an example. Let's say you're a financial advisor. If you're not a financial advisor, you're going to find your own way of figuring this out. Let's say you're a financial advisor and your target buyer avatar is someone with $500,000 ready to invest and wants to create a plan for the retirement, right? Let's say that is your buyer avatar. Well, and this is a really quick way to describe this concept. It does get more complicated, but
and it varies from business to business, of course. So
exactly. Yeah. So, but in the interest of time, I'm just picking a really easy way to describe the difference. If that's your buyer avatar, then what I would say to the financial advisor who's coming to me for help is great. Then your viewer avatar is someone with $100,000 ready to invest, but maybe they're not quite ready to hire you to be their financial advisor just yet because they don't qualify. They don't meet your requirements for the kinds of clients they work with. Okay. That's just because there's going to be a lot more people out there with $100,000 to invest than there are people with $500,000 to invest. All the other attributes that you want to attract in terms of the audience would probably remain mostly the same. Excuse me. But you're going to want to design your content program to attract your viewer avatar. And not, you know, because, you know what, let me use one more example in case that wasn't strong enough for you. And because I already mentioned his name, I'm going to use Alex Hormozi. Alex Hormozi's buyer avatar is the top 1% of the 1% of the 1%. He's attracting the business owner doing $3 million a year in revenue and wants to partner up with him to scale up to $30 million a year in revenue plus. Like, think about how many people actually meet that definition. That's ridiculous.
No, not a lot of people, and a lot of people watch.
Terrible, right? Terribly small percentage. But if you go to his YouTube channel right now, you're going to see videos with hundreds of thousands, millions of views. And it's because he understands the difference between a buyer avatar and a viewer avatar.
It's nice to actually think about, you know, that you could actually create your viewer avatar and then have some sort of like lower requirements in there, basically and by the time they are prepared to become your clients, you know? And it's great to think about it that way. I never actually thought about it that way, which is great.
Yeah. So making content for your buyer avatar too small of an audience. Don't waste your time. If that's your plan, don't even start a YouTube channel. You're going to waste
your
time.
It's not going to compound at all. It's not going to compound. It's not going to happen.
YouTube is a top of funnel platform. It's a global platform, okay? So don't make content for your buyer avatar. Do make content for your viewer avatar, okay? But then one level up from that would be the total addressable market. Everyone in your industry. Too wide now. Now we've gone too much. And then one level past that would be everyone on YouTube. Clearly, if you're trying to market or make content for everyone on YouTube, you're so watered down, no one's going to resonate with your content and you're wasting your time.
It's not niched enough.
Yeah. So there is a sweet spot there, right? Now, now that we've identified who your viewer avatar is, that's step one. Too many times people have created content and then they're trying to figure out how to make the content to attract their ideal target market. And I'm like, whoa. Totally backwards. You need to focus and obsess over the viewer avatar. There's lots of strategies to do this. If you already have an active YouTube channel, read through the comments.
It's almost like dealing with YouTube as a business on its own, if you think about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because you look for the viewer avatar and you just focus on that, making sure that the YouTube actually grows by itself as a thing. And then that's going to start funnel, you know, clients into your business. That's how I see it.
Well, you're bang on there because this is why I literally tell my clients all the time. When you have a YouTube channel, it's essentially a mini business inside your actual business. It has all the same attributes of a normal business. It has revenue, it has expenses, it has resource management. Because if you're a sizable organization, you're probably going to have a video editor, a thumbnail artist, a project manager. You might have a YouTube coach or a YouTube strategist, someone like myself. So there's resource management. Unless you want to hire an agency like ours and outsource all of those headaches, you got to bring those resources in-house and screen them, hire them, train them, mentor them, pay them. And then now you have a creative department in charge of your YouTube program, right? So we've identified who your viewer avatar is. What's your next question is probably, okay, now what? Now what, Andrew? We know who we're trying to make content for. Now what? It's actually a very simple three-step process. It's super, like I said, I'm just a dumb marketer. I love to take complex systems and ideas and concepts and break it down into the simplest terms. It's three steps. That's it. Step one, get the viewer. Seems, you know, intuitive, doesn't it? How do you actually get the viewer? I divide that into three different subsections. Topic, title, thumbnail. Okay. If you pick a boring topic, if you pick a topic that no one's interested in,
no matter what the thumbnail, no matter what the content is, like whatever, it's not going to work.
It doesn't matter what you do for the thumbnail and the title because you just picked a boring idea.
You can have the best produced YouTube video or whatever. It doesn't matter.
You could spend $100,000 on a video. If you picked a boring idea, no one will watch. You will post the video, you'll get 7 views, and then I'm just being honest because I've seen it too many times. You're going to whine and moan and complain. You're going to say, YouTube doesn't work. Whoa. YouTube does work. Just because YouTube doesn't work for you doesn't mean YouTube doesn't work. And we have the data. 2.7 billion monthly active users. Are you kidding me? Marketing 101, fish where the fish are. The fish are on YouTube, right? So the metrics don't lie. So step one, get the viewer. Pick an interesting idea. Don't be boring. That should be printed on your wall. Don't be boring, right? So pick an interesting idea, something that someone would like to learn more about or click on, right? And then support that idea with really great packaging. That would be the thumbnail and the title. If you're new to the YouTube space, the thumbnail is that graphic, that image that is served to you on your homepage or in the suggested column. And it's essentially an image that represents the content contained in the video, right?
Every time I watch YouTube, I see a great thumbnail with a great hook. You know, sometimes you don't want to click on it because it has a great hook and you may think like it's clickbaity or whatever, but you still click on it because you want to see what's inside. Yeah. So that's kind of like the type of YouTube thumbnails that I feel work great.
You just nailed on something really important. I got to back up and highlight and underline what you just said there. When you have a really great idea in really great video packaging, you'll know it's great because maybe someone couldn't click on it because they were busy, they were at work, they were feeding the kids, they were doing something else, right? If they then finish their day, they climb into bed and then they can't sleep because they're like, oh, what was in that video? That's when you know. That's when you know you have a great topic.
There are sometimes instances when I don't have time to watch something for whatever reason, I'm interrupted and I go and save the video.
Yep.
because it's that great. Just the thumbnail. I just see the thumbnail. Yep. I actually didn't start watching it, but I save it because I know that this may be something good. That's when you know the thumbnail is great.
Yeah. What, like if you're on a mobile device, you're taking a screenshot so you don't remember, you don't forget.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. We've all been there. We've all done it. So step one, you were almost getting a little ahead of me there too. Step one is get the viewer. Success. We got the view. And if, like, you know what? Let me take a quick pause. These three steps that I'm sharing with you and your audience right now, these steps, I developed these steps because I know what YouTube wants. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
If you help YouTube achieve what it wants to achieve, help it achieve mm-hmm. its goals, then it will shine a giant spotlight on you and your brand. You just got to help YouTube do what it does best. That's it. If you ignore you, think of it this way. If you had a business and you had a business partner that showed up late to work every day, didn't generate any revenue, just caused problems every day.
You don't want to reward that.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to work with that business partner. Mm-hmm. But if you had a business partner that showed up early, generated revenue for you, got rid of obstacles and challenges, this is my point. This is what I tell mm-hmm. people. Be a good business partner with YouTube. Don't be a pain in the ass. That's it.
And YouTube created an amazing opportunity for like independent creators. And imagine like back in the days, no YouTube. The only way to actually get in front of people is newspapers, radio, and TV. That was it. So now you've got this opportunity to talk to so many people, you know. It's just about creating the original content. It's just about making sure that what the people on the other side are watching is great, but you actually provide value to them and it's just going to grow on its own. Obviously, with a few tricks here and there to make it, you know, work even better. That's something that you can learn along the way, or, you know, somebody like you, for example, could coach them.
Yeah. And that's what we're talking about here, because if you're in business, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a business owner, if you might be hearing this for the very first time, but you're a media company. Every business.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Then this is what the podcast is all about, is basically getting an insight on what you need to do in this way of making business nowadays, using content as a content creation as a marketing tool to bring revenue to your business. And there's so many avenues you can go through. Like you mentioned, social media, podcasting, YouTube is a great way as well. Now let's go.
Do you want me to finish the three steps?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So step one, get the viewer, topic, title, thumbnail. Step two, keep the viewer. Remember, I've developed mm-hmm. these steps based off of what YouTube wants. Keep the viewer. So we want to encourage that viewer to watch all the way through until the very end of the video. And that's divided into two subcategories. So two halves of the same coin. You can think of it that way, mm-hmm. right? So there's the content quality, which is all of the information coming out of your mouth, right? And for business YouTube channels, this is the priority. This is the priority. Mm-hmm. The secondary consideration is the production quality. Production quality. The viewer needs to be able to see and hear you, period, right? Now, if you're an entertainment YouTube channel, those two priorities are switched. Production quality is number one for entertainment, then is content quality. Like a Mr. Beast, for example.
Yeah.
Production quality is primary, content quality is secondary. If you're a business, an entrepreneur, a professional, just switch those two, right? So, and mm-hmm. if you're in business and you've been in business for a while and you already have some authority and some knowledge and experience in your niche, then you shouldn't have any problem on that front. The thing that you need to be obsessing about the most is just improving your content creation skills. Like, what's an open loop? How do I insert some pattern interrupts? Like learning how to do different things to encourage that viewer to watch all the way through until the very end. Now, really quickly, because my clients always struggle on this, I don't care. Like, let's talk about production quality, because everyone asks mm-hmm. about that, right? You're a podcaster, so you already know the importance of production quality, audio. Audio.
Yeah.
I don't care. And this is what I tell my people all the time. I don't care if your budget is $10 or $10,000. The number one concern is audio quality. Because
if they can't hear you, the message doesn't get across.
Not only if they can hear you or not, it's a viewer is much more forgiving with less than perfect video quality. They are never forgiving with less than perfect audio quality.
Completely true. You may relate to this. You watch something and the audio sounds rubbish.
Oh, yeah.
And actually that can create like pain into your ears if it's really bad, especially if you wear headphones, you are maybe, you know, in a subway or something and you are forced to listen to that. You're just going to skip right away.
Yep.
When there is like a bad video, you can just turn your your eyes around. You know, you don't need to look at it, right? Yep. You can listen to it and it's still fine, you know? So I totally agree on that.
It goes deeper than that too, because I'm a content expert. I paid very close attention to this. When I'm watching a video that has crap audio, now I'm distracted. Now I'm not even paying attention to what's coming out of the person's mouth because I'm so distracted with how bad the audio quality is.
What is that? You know?
Yeah. So number one is audio. I'm going to run through this in priority list. Yep. So for you listening to this or watching this episode right now, these are writer downers. This is the kind of stuff that you want to make note on. And just, I've been in this industry for many years. Trust me on this. Number one is audio. Number two is actually lighting. A lot of people think it's camera. It's not the camera. If you have a smartphone in your pocket and if you're listening or watching to this right now, you probably do. And it could even be an old smartphone with a camera. And if you just make sure you're well lit, then that camera will be more than enough. I saw a post from MKBHD not too long ago, Marques Brownlee, who has his Waveform podcast. He posted publicly not that long ago that his podcast has been filmed on old iPhones this entire time. So we're talking one of the top most popular.
But if lighting is good, it can really make most cameras like look pretty good. So for example, now I'm shooting this one on a Blackmagic camera. The one that you're seeing me through is the M50 Canon camera, which is a 500 pounds camera, which is not that expensive.
Yep.
It's still a DSLR. It's not an iPhone.
Yeah.
But my light is 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Right? So it costs a lot more than the camera. The reason why is because you really want that lighting is going to make most cameras look pretty good, especially if you know how to work with lighting. And definitely like you can go, you know, and watch a course about, you know, lighting, and it's not rocket science.
Yep.
Obviously you can make it more complicated than it should be, but most cases, especially like for content creators, like YouTubers, podcasters, you know, you just need to set it right the first time and just make sure that you reuse it and you learn the basics basically. And that's it. So 100%.
And for someone like yourself who you have a dedicated space for content creation, that's perfect. Now, I look a lot more washed out than you do. And that's because I'm in an Airbnb in San Jose, Costa Rica. I'm a digital nomad. So I can't travel with those huge lighting setups. I can't. I just can't. So when I get to an Airbnb or wherever I'm going, I typically set up my workstation in front of a window. I'm looking at beautiful downtown San Jose, Costa Rica right now. I have this big window in front of me here. So I'm more washed out than you. I don't have those nice shadows that you have, but I, at least I'm well lit. And then I'm using the DJI Pocket 3 as my camera because it provides that nice blurred out background. Plus it's a very streamlined camera. It's very tiny. It's got a 1-inch sensor. It packs a powerful punch in a really tiny package, which makes it easier for me to travel with. But that is number three. So number two is lighting. Number three is camera. Excuse me. Number four is background. You have a nice, clean, clutter-free background.
This is not my usual background. This is like, because we are doing a remote podcast, and it's actually the first remote podcast on this podcast I'm doing.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, usually I have like a better background than this. And I was just like, I'm just going to leave this in the background. But if you use the blur from your camera, if you have a good depth of field on your camera, you know, the background can be improved a little bit.
Yeah.
So, it should be.
And a quick tip on that. It sounds like you're not, I thought you were in your normal location. I apologize.
Normally my studio is like right behind the camera.
Oh,
right.
Gotcha.
I have two chairs there. My viewers will know. I'll show it to you after the podcast. Yeah. And it has like, you know, a better setup in terms of background, but it's fine.
Yeah. But you had to adjust and I get that because content creation is one of those things where, you know, sometimes it can be very much done is better than perfect, right? But really, really quick note on this for your listeners and viewers. If you have the option, if you can't, I get it. If you have the option, create some space behind you like I did, right? Because then if you do have that depth of field in the camera, then it does create a nice blurred effect. Whereas if you have that wall right behind you like you do, the depth of field is almost impossible to achieve. Plus, if I'm being honest, and this isn't a dig at you, I understand that you're where you have to be right now. But if you have a wall right behind you, you're creating a really tight and enclosed feeling for the viewer, right? So again, We always obsess over the viewer, right? Trying to add as much value to the viewer as possible, right? So then number five, the final consideration, very simple, tripods, stability. So if you have a camera, if you have a mic, if you have lighting, just get an easy button. I call it the easy button. Go to Amazon, go to all of the various staples or all of the different things around the different providers around the world. Order some basic, like tripods are not expensive. And then,
yeah, you definitely shouldn't improvise with like a stack of books and put your camera in there. And I've seen that before many times.
You can do it, but it's a pain in the butt.
You can do it, but it's a pain in the butt. And actually, at the end of the day, content creation takes a long time, right?
Yeah.
Why would you make it more difficult for you when, and you know, the Atomic Habits, right?
Yeah. Oh,
the
I love book. That
Have you heard?
Love that book. Yes.
So in the book, they like he explains, James Clear explains that you should have everything, like if you want to make stuff, right? You just need to surround yourself with things that encourage you to do that, right? So one of those things is why making it difficult for yourself, definitely have a good stand, have a, you know, decent camera, have a good setup. Make sure that if you can have your own space for that particular thing that you want to do.
Yep.
And this way you're going to stay consistent. If you need to like take the equipment every single time and put it together, and man, you're going to give up really, really fast.
By the time you're done setting everything up, you've run out of time, or you convinced or now you're in now you're frustrated, now you're in a negative headspace and you don't even want to create content anymore.
And that's one of the struggles I've got with my clients, the DIYers, the people that don't rent studios for recording podcasts. It's that.
Yep.
It's setting it up together. Obviously, there are some solutions out there that, you know, can help you out with, you know, is like making this process a lot easier. You can overcomplicate as well.
Yep.
That's also another problem that could happen. So you can overcomplicate your setup, and especially if you're not really into, like you're not a nerd like I am, right? It could be like, I've got that old fancy gear now. Now let me put it all together. Now I need to learn so many things, you know, to make it happen. But
but
just a basic setup, just to kind of like bring that production value a little bit higher than a typical laptop camera, that's going to go a long way.
Yeah, I agree with you. But at the end of the day, done is better than perfect. And even if you don't have the perfect setup, like myself, I can't travel with a bunch of lighting equipment. So what do? I sit in front of a window when I need to make content. It's not like, it's not rocket science. Like we just, use some common sense, right? As long as you're putting the viewer in mind, how am I going to create a better experience for the viewer? That's it. And then if you, as long as whenever you're struggling about A, B, C, X, Y, Z, just ask yourself, which is the better choice for the viewer? And then just go with that.
Before we dive back into the episode, I want to give a quick shout out to SaaSPod. Not only are they the masterminds behind this podcast, but they also power dozens of other shows you know and love. SaaSPod offers a flexible pay-as-you-go podcast production service that grows with you. Whether you need help choosing the right equipment, booking guests, editing, or setting up your podcast, they've got you covered. The best part? The team at SaaSPod isn't just professional. They make the entire process fun and stress-free. If you've been sitting on a great podcast idea, now is the time to bring it to life. Visit SaaSPod.com and use the code TPF2025 to get 20% off your first production package. That's TPF2025 for 20% off. All right, let's get back into the episode.
Okay, so now step three. And like I said at the beginning of this, it's not complicated. It's actually quite simple, but it's not easy. It is difficult to execute because otherwise everyone would have a successful YouTube channel. So step three, and in my opinion, this is the step most people screw up. Most people understand steps one and steps two. When people come in, when people hire me for a consult or whatever, like when someone comes to me, and I'm looking at their channel, they almost always screw up step three. They don't even know step three exists. So step one, get the viewer. Step two, keep the viewer. Step three, get the viewer back. That's it. So
what's the difference between keep the viewer and get the viewer back?
So keeping the viewer is keeping them all the way into the very end of the video, increasing that retention. And then at the end of the video, there's only two CTAs that matter to a business owner. Mm-hmm. There's only two CTAs. Have you ever watched a YouTube video where they're like, hey, hit that like button, smash the subscribe button, comment below, share the video with a friend, click the bell icon. Did you do any of those things when a YouTuber asked you to do?
Sometimes.
Really?
There is.
Wow.
I like there's a strategy which I've seen. There is a Russian YouTuber that escaped Russia, and he lives in Georgia now, and he talks about Russia and the current government, and he's bashing all that. And then what he says in the beginning, I really like that strategy. He says, smash the like button, because you may like it. If you don't like it, just smash it again.
Smash it again.
Right? Yeah, smash it again. Unlike it.
Yeah.
Because you can take it back if you really want to.
You can take it back.
And he creates that environment, even though there's no risk in pushing the like button, but just because he said that, it gives you more, you know, it makes you laugh first thing first. And then you say, oh, I should like this guy's video. And if I really don't like it, I'm just going to hit it again. You know, it's really fun.
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad you shared that, because in that situation, he's being himself. He's sharing his personality. He's sharing his sense of humor. And that is, like, I didn't address it, but that was part of step two, the content quality. Like, be yourself. Be yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're naturally funny, be funny. If you're naturally more educational, more informative, then be more educational, more informative. Because as soon as you try to be someone else, viewers will see right through that. Viewers yep. can tell when. And that's why YouTube is such a powerful platform, because people can be truly their authentic selves. And video, when you Google this, different experts will say different things. But from what I dug up, somewhere between 70 and 93% of all human communication is nonverbal, which is why when you meet someone or when you watch a video and someone's not really being authentically, truly themselves, your gut instincts are like, this doesn't feel right. Because the vast majority of human communication is nonverbal, which is, this is why it's the craziest thing why businesses to me don't have YouTube channels. Like, oh, you're not on the world's number one video platform that does the best distribution than anything else? Why? Like, it doesn't make sense to not have a YouTube channel. Okay, so step three, get the viewer back. So getting a first-time viewer is one thing. Compelling and convincing and converting that first-time viewer into a repeat, returning, loyal viewer. Powerful. Powerful. YouTube's paying close attention to that, because YouTube switched to a satisfaction model a number of years ago. And one of the strongest forms of satisfaction in terms of engagement signals is compelling and convincing that viewer to watch more of your content, increasing their session time. So at the end of your video, don't say something like, thanks for watching. Because if you say thanks for watching, and I don't know how you end your episode, so I'm going to be paying attention.
I'm not going to end it well. if you want, you can end it.
but don't say thanks for watching, because when you say thanks for watching, the viewer hears what? I can leave now.
Right.
Never,
I love that.
Never tell
That's good.
A viewer to leave. Don't ever. Kryptonite to your retention. You're destroyed. You put all this time, money, and effort to create the best content you possibly can, and then bye.
Thanks.
It's nuts. It's absolutely crazy. Never do that. Don't ever do that. Okay. Your next question is, okay, Andrew, I understand the importance here. What do I do then? Well, ask yourself, after this content, look at your archive, look at your library of videos already on your YouTube channel, and ask, use logic. After a viewer watches this ABC video,
what can they watch?
What would they like to watch next? They just watched ABC. So, and then you look at your channel and you go, oh, XYZ. And you'll just know, this is a natural progression, right? Again, if I'm talking to a financial advisor, maybe they're making a video about the worst mistakes that new real estate investors should need to avoid. Let's say it's a video along those lines, right? Worst mistakes a new real estate investor must avoid, something along those lines. At the end of that video, you might promote another video that you already have on your channel that's along the lines of, hey, now that you understand the mistakes to avoid, congratulations for sticking through this entire video, because now you have an unfair advantage over other new real estate investors. But you're going to want to watch this video next, because these are the top secrets that I learned to accelerate my real estate investment portfolio. And I was able to generate $1 million in revenue within the first 2 years or something along those lines. You're giving a strong, compelling reason for the viewer to watch this next. Contrast that to, hey, watch this next. Why? Why? Like, just because you tell me to watch this next doesn't mean I'm going to watch this next, because you didn't give me a strong enough reason to watch this next. Give me a strong reason to stick. Make me care. Make the viewer care. Convert that first-time viewer into a repeat returning loyal viewer. And one of the easiest ways to do that, by the way, is just make good content. Because if you provide value, then the next time YouTube serves another one of your videos, the viewer is going to look at your thumbnail and go, oh, I really liked his video last time.
One way doing that, you could actually refer one of your videos, right? You could refer one of your older videos that's great content that's maybe related to your current video. Another way you describe that, you could refer someone else's channel.
Yes, that's an advanced strategy. I love that you brought that up, because so in your situation, because you're in, you have a podcast, you may have at one point like a super famous celebrity guest. That's not me. I'm not a super famous celebrity guest. But but if you had a super famous celebrity guest, and let's say they also had a YouTube channel who has a very similar audience to the kind of audience that you serve, well, then you and that guest could do a collaboration of sorts where the end card. So at the end of a YouTube video, YouTube will give you up to 20 seconds to promote more content, right? Now, most people promote content on their channel. You're going to, you have this viewer and you're going to want to keep that viewer on your content.
It's a straightforward way.
Pretty straightforward. But a more advanced way to do this is if you either did a collaboration where you're pointing the end of your video traffic to their video and they're doing the same to you, right? You could do it that way, or you could literally pay for this as well. You could say, hey, you could reach out to a brand. You could reach out to a creator. You could reach out to another YouTube channel owner and say, hey, I've noticed we have really similar audiences. Can I purchase an end card for one of your videos to drive traffic back to my channel? And see if they would sell that to you, because some people would sell that for $250 or $500 or £500, right? So, and the reason why that would be so valuable is when you can show YouTube that there is a data correlation, there is a data relationship between the two channels. Why is that so important? This is a really important concept here, because this is another writer downer for you note takers out there. You want to write this down. Only 10% of the world's views come from the search traffic source, the search algorithm. Everyone assumes that they need to optimize all their content for search because it's, search, it's the second largest.
It's the recommendations,
engine, right?
I would say, that matters, yeah, right?
No, it's the recommendations that, so the two recommendations algorithms are responsible for 70% of the views globally. So the question we should be asking is not how do we optimize our content for search? The question we should be asking is how do we get YouTube to recommend our content more? For free. How do we do that? So if you can show YouTube that there's a data relationship between your channel and the other person's channel, okay? After you've done that, the next time a viewer is watching that person's content, what you'll notice is your videos will more likely show up in the suggested column. If you're on desktop, the suggested column are all those videos being suggested to you on the right-hand side. But YouTube is doing some testing. And it looks like they're going to be moving that over to beneath the video now, unless they've decided against it.
It's going to be such a big change because it was always on the right side.
It was always on the right side. And if you're on mobile, which most YouTube users are on mobile, beneath the video that you're watching are all the suggested videos. Okay.
Yep.
And we all do this. We all do this.
Yeah. I do it all the time.
You might be watching, or I should say listening to the YouTube video, and now you start perusing other options. And that is prime real estate. You want YouTube recommending your content beside and after other people's content. And the more successfully you do that, the faster your channel will grow. Dramatically so. And that's an advanced strategy, absolutely. When properly executed, yeah, it could be a complete game changer for you.
Listen, man, in just 45 minutes around, because we have 45 minutes now, you basically provided so much knowledge and so much value. It's crazy. We talked briefly about YouTube ads and you said it's a no-no. Why is that?
Okay. Context matters, right? Nuance matters. I'm not against YouTube ads. I'm not against any form of paid. We didn't talk about this. I could have brought it up at the beginning. Let's talk about this first and then I'll come back to the ads if that's okay. There's only four ways to market a business. There's only four ways to market an offer. That's it. Only four ways. Okay. We've been talking about content creation this entire time. It could be a YouTube channel. It could be your website. It could be a blog. Blogs are on their way out, obviously, but any form of content could be considered content marketing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number two, paid. Paid is pretty obvious. Let's just be honest. Every platform will take your money. Whether your ad is good or not, all of these platforms are like, yeah, sure, pay us. Give us all the money. Give us all your money. They'll all gladly take your money. Paid is fantastic for anything that's time sensitive. So you have an event, you have a product launch, you have a community launch. You know, anything that's time sensitive, I absolutely support paid strategies. I'm not against paid at all. Paid is fantastic for that. But if we're going to compare paid against organic, if you're looking at a short time frame, 2 months, 3 months, depending on other variables, paid will probably have the advantage, depending on how successful the YouTube channel is. Paid will probably have the advantage. But if you zoom out and you look at a long enough timeline, a year, 5 years, organic will kick paid's ass 7 days a week. Sorry, we have the data. So content, number one, paid, number two. Number three could be partnerships or influencer marketing, where you just you identify a thought leader or an influencer or creator. There's all kinds of names out there these days. Mm-hmm. But you identify someone who already has an audience that you're trying to attract. And maybe you do a joint venture. Maybe you pay them to promote you on their email list, or you do a webinar or a workshop, and you agree to share 50% of the revenue with them because it's their audience. You know, that's a fantastic way to market an offer or a business. And then number four, and finally, would be outreach. So if you have an email list, emailing your list, paying for other people to promote you to their email list, DMing them on Facebook, DMing them people on LinkedIn. This could be warm audience.
This is the most painful way.
It can be a very time consuming way to do things. But it works. It does work. Mm-hmm. I'm not an expert in this space at all, but you could DM people. That's warm leads and cold leads as well. But those are the four ways. Okay. Now let me get back and do a little bit more detail on the paid stuff. You can do YouTube paid. I'm not saying not do YouTube paid, but never in a million years. Oh, if you have reached this far in the podcast, then you are going to be rewarded, my friend. Never, ever, ever, ever put paid traffic to your organic content.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen too many disasters in the years that I've done this. I'm telling you, the amount of times people had their YouTube channels destroyed because the paid expert didn't warn their client around the risks associated.
So what's behind YouTube that makes that weird?
Okay, so in the interest of time, I'm going to go through this as quickly as I possibly can. When you drive, if you're going to hire a YouTube consultant like me, we have to make decisions based off of data. Otherwise, we're just guessing, okay?
Correct.
When I get access to someone's YouTube channel, one of the first things that I'm doing is I'm looking
to see... It's inflated data.
Well, I'm going to look to see... Yeah, I'm going to look to see if there's any paid traffic. And as soon as... Mm-hmm. If I see any paid traffic whatsoever, I'm telling the client, you need to kill this and you need to kill this yesterday. And I'm deadly serious because you were destroying your channel. You were destroying YouTube's ability to serve your content to the perfect viewer at the perfect time. So there's a lot of risks here. I'm going to try to get through this as fast as I can. But as a YouTube consultant, I can't interpret the data without first minusing the paid data. And I'm just being honest, I'm expensive because I'm very good at what I do. I've been doing this a long time and I know how to generate results for clients. It's not a good use of my time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the point now where I'm like, no, I'm sorry, you don't qualify. I'm not going to work with you. Because that's how serious it is. That's how serious it is. Because anytime I download a report, anytime I have to constantly subtract the negative paid influence because I can't see the organic data without having to subtract all the paid stuff. So a YouTube consultant who's worth their salt will immediately be at a disadvantage to add value to you because you flooded your content, your channel with paid traffic, which destroys our ability to read the data. Okay. So that's something to consider. As soon as you start paying YouTube, you become a guaranteed revenue source of that platform. So some different YouTube experts are going to say different things with what I'm about to say here. I'm not going to say this is proven, but I am one of those people that attend this school of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people actually know what the YouTube algorithms are designed to do, right? Like this isn't public information. But when someone like myself is working on multiple channels at any given time, we have the unfair advantage, okay? We have the unfair advantage because we have access to lots of data. And so we can make it. You're always going to have an unfair advantage if you're working with an expert. Sorry.
Yeah.
Like if you're just gonna blindly like jump in and just hope for the best, well, hope for the best. You know, follow the spaghetti approach. But if you work with someone who's been doing this for years, who's working on multiple YouTube channels at any given time,
yeah,
then they're gonna know what's working. I'm sorry. Like it's just like it's mm-hmm. We're not guessing anymore because every time we post a video on a client's channel, it's another split test, and we get more insights, we get more data, right?
So yeah, and when you keep up to date with whatever is happening and everything. So
when you start paying YouTube to drive views to your organic video, now you've created a guaranteed revenue source for the platform. How motivated is YouTube to serve your video to the perfect viewer at the perfect time, with the hopes that the viewers are going to watch enough ads so that YouTube will generate the revenue? The incentivization goes out of whack. Now, even though YouTube mm-hmm. will say that doesn't happen, YouTube consultants like me, who've been doing this a long time, we're going to say, not according to the data.
It's almost like a conflict of interest, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because you've got, you know, you pay YouTube ads to promote your YouTube channel, whatever, like let's say a specific video. And the person is getting on the YouTube video, in order to get there, they already spend, you already spend money on YouTube for them to get there. And then they watch another YouTube. It doesn't make sense to me. It's almost like a loop to me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, like I said, the incentivization just goes out of whack. I think I have time to share one more, point with you. So, I can't remember if I already asked you this. Are you familiar with Daryl Eaves? Do you know who Daryl Eaves is?
No, I never heard of this guy.
So Daryl Eaves is the YouTube GOAT. He's been on YouTube since 2005. He wrote one of the most amazing YouTube books ever written called The YouTube Formula. The YouTube Formula. Mm. I've read the book twice. It's fantastic. I was in his inner circle for YouTube consultants for almost 2 years. And the only reason why I'm not in there anymore is because that was a program that he decided to sunset because he got really, really busy. He happens to be the executive producer of the number two TV show of all time, which is called The Chosen. He's the executive producer of that show. And I'm telling you, he's the YouTube GOAT. He's got, last I checked, he's got 34 gold play buttons, which means he's taken 34 YouTube channels from zero subscribers to over a million subscribers. And the fastest he did that was in 28 days.
What?
Mm-hmm.
How the heck was that even possible?
So there are a lot of YouTube experts out there in the world, but I'm always the first to, and I don't think Daryl's ever going to see this, but Daryl, I'm always going to be just the first to say that Daryl's in a category of his own. It's one thing creating success on YouTube. It's a completely another thing creating success after success after success after success in such a reliable manner. And I don't believe anyone can come close to Daryl in that vein. Now, why am I sharing this with you? Because years ago, I was in his inner circle and I was on a call with him. Have you ever, Bogdan, have you ever had a mentor that you admired, that you respected? But have you ever had a mentor like kind of like, smack you upside the head and give you
it
some tough
love? It feels good and bad at the same time, if that makes sense.
It does, right? It feels good and bad. Yeah. So I'm on this group call with Daryl Eaves, the amazing Daryl Eaves, and all of these other YouTube consultants. And I asked him about paid. I asked him, why can't we just throw a little paid at this thing? You know, why can't we just throw a little paid in this thing? And he very calmly looked in the camera and said, okay, Andrew, you think, this is what he's like, you've been a YouTube consultant for a time and you know a lot about YouTube, right? I'm like, yeah, I know a lot about, I don't know everything about YouTube, but I know a lot about YouTube. And he's like, okay, you think that you have a stronger ability. You are better qualified to tell YouTube who to serve this video to. And before you answer, YouTube and Google are both owned by Alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube is the number one video platform in the world. YouTube is the number one podcast platform in the world, the number one streaming platform in the world, the number two search engine. It never sleeps. A billion hours of watch time are consumed every single day, I think, if I remember correctly.
Petabytes of data.
So this giant global machine, Google/YouTube, that collects 5,000 data points on every single user, 2.7 billion monthly active users. You see where I'm getting? He's literally going through all of these attributes. And he's like, you think you can do a better job than that?
Correct. Yeah.
And I'm on this group call and I'm like, message received, Daryl.
The case is in. Yeah.
Thank you for setting me straight. And then he finished that off with, this is what he says to me. And I've heard him say this multiple, this is the first time I heard him say it, but I've heard him say it multiple times to multiple people now. And he said, you couldn't pay me enough. You couldn't pay me enough to put paid on my organic content because I've seen what happens. And I'm like, understood. So if you can't take advice like that from the YouTube goat, then, and you think you know better, then by all means, keep putting paid on your on your videos, and don't come crying to me to fix your channel when you realize you've caused harm.
We'll add some resources in the show notes for any anybody that wants to check him out. And by the way, do you have your own YouTube channel? By the way,
I have multiple YouTube channels, but none of my YouTube channels teach YouTube because
why don't you do that?
Marketing 101. Right? Marketing 101 is knowing who your target market is, knowing who you serve. My agency, my company, YT Era, we specialize in done-for-you services. We're the done-for-you YouTube marketing solution for busy entrepreneurs and business owners. These people are busy. Do you think they go to YouTube to learn how YouTube marketing grows businesses?
Yeah, probably not.
No. So when I say most businesses should have a YouTube channel, I mean it. Most businesses should have a YouTube channel. Ironically, my business fits in that tiny percentage of companies
that shouldn't
have a YouTube channel because it does. That's my target audience isn't on YouTube. Look, they're too busy. They're busy entrepreneurs of 7, 8, 9-figure companies, and they would rather just pay the experts. No, I'm not. They're like, I'm not doing that. They don't want to be YouTubers. They just want to grow their business faster, easier, better with a YouTube channel. And they're going to pay the experts. They're going to hire me and my team to do the thumbnails, the titles, the video editing, the project management, the channel management, the cybersecurity, blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on. Do you know how many YouTube videos you'd have to watch to learn how YouTube marketing will grow your business?
Quite a lot, I would say. Yeah, thousands of hours.
I've already spent the years. So my clients don't have the years to watch those YouTube videos to learn how all this works.
Okay, Andrew, and where can people learn more about you and your business?
Well, I recommend joining our free community at ytforfree.com. That's ytforfree.com. We have a free community on school full of entrepreneurs, business owners, professionals that want to use YouTube to grow their business. All kinds of free resources there and more coming.
Yeah, we'll make sure that we put that in the show notes. So your website is youtubeera.com, is that correct?
My website is ytera.com, Y-T-E-R-A.com. Yeah.
Man, this was so insightful and so good, man. Thank you so much
for your tips.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Guys, I don't even know how to end this episode now.
I want to help you.
Please end the episode. I will see how you do it.
Well, I got a question for you. I got an idea. Do you have any podcast episodes around lead magnets or converting traffic into clients? Do you have anything like that?
So we've got one of the guests that is going to be out before this episode.
Ah.
So his name is Craig Campbell. He's on SEO and he is an SEO expert. He actually is a YouTube expert himself as well because he has a YouTube channel. He grew to a million subscribers in very short period of time. He talks about all SEO and YouTube and all that. And actually, we touch on YouTube a little bit there. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to end the episode now, you could literally say, hey, now you just learned about discoverability on YouTube from Andrew. If you want to dive deeper on YouTube SEO, watch Craig's episode right below. Find the link below. You can literally do that.